You're listening to the Growing Up Rock Podcast with your host, Stephen Michael, and Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
Okay, there's going to be parts of this episode where I feel like I'm talking really fast because I'm going to be super excited. By now, you've seen the title of the episode, and we are talking about Steelheart, and we're talking about Miljenko Matijevic, and I am excited beyond belief. Steven, how are you, sir?
Dude, I'm doing okay, man. I'm just super excited for you. I know this one was important for you because I got to do the Jeff Scott Soto interview on my own just because it was, you know, me in front of Jeff. So it just made sense and you weren't available for it. But I was super happy that you got to do this interview because I know this dude, you love this dude. You've been supporting him for a super long time. And so I'm happy for you. I thought it went really well. And there's a lot of background noise going on and stuff like that, but the interview came out great. I think, I'll work a little bit of magic with it, and hopefully people will enjoy it.
Yeah, because you got to, you know, keep in mind, so I turned 20 in October of 89, and so hair metal was all over MTV, right? You're hearing all kinds of stuff. I'd seen a bunch of shows by now. I'd seen some really good live shows. I'd seen some singers really let me down live. And then here comes this guy who, you know, looks like this just god on the TV. I mean, good looking guy, can sing, can play guitar. And I'm like, no way can this guy do this stuff live. This is ridiculous. And then he's coming to a club, the club I always go to, the Omni. And I'm like, okay, I guess, should I buy tickets for the next night or should I go find out if he's going to be really good beforehand? So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy tickets for both nights. So I buy for the Omni and the One Step Beyond. I'm going to see them back-to-back nights. I walk into the club totally skeptical that he can hit the notes that I heard from the first song at 21 years old, wrote me in, my favorite singer in rock of all time. It was just his connection on stage was unbelievable. And I know I'm going into a rabbit hole and I'm babbling now, but it just puts me right back to that time and place. It was amazing. And it's, you know, you get that. I think you feel like that with Van Halen and Priest a little bit. Every time I hear the songs, it's right back to 91 at the Omni. It's just amazing. Yeah. I don't know how to say it any other way.
Yeah. I mean, my journey with Steelheart is a much different path than yours was, because for me, you know, by the 90s, I was already living on my own and, you know, had gone through my teen years and gone through my metal phase and all that. And so with the 90s, it's kind of on the downside of this kind of music. And the first song I ever heard from Steelheart was just like a lot of people, I'll Never Let You Go. And I'll be honest, I hated it. I mean,
because it's a ballad. That's because, why.
Well, yeah. I mean, it had nothing to do with his voice. It had nothing to do with the band. I hated it. And I couldn't. And the fact of the matter was MTV was spinning it nonstop. Right. And I'm not a ballad person. I've talked about that many times. And so I turned my ear to this band. I turned it off immediately. So I never checked out the first record. Well, so later on, they released Tangled in Reins, and I got a promo copy of it because I was working at a record distributor at the time. And the first song I heard was this song right here. Listen to this.
We'll be right back.
So that was a song called Electric Love Child, which is the number three song off this record. And I freaking, that had me hooked. And so I checked out the rest of the record and I was like, oh shit, I love this. This is great stuff. Loaded Mother, Sticky Side Up. The song Steelheart, it's hardcore. I love that song as well. And so that prompted me to go back to the first album. And when I started listening to some of the other stuff, you know, Everybody Loves Eileen and Love Ain't Easy, Can't Stop. There's some good stuff. Gimme, Gimme, Rock and Roll, love Rock and Roll. So there's a lot of good stuff. I just happen to not be a ballad person. And whenever I put the first record on, of course, I have no problem skipping I'll Never Let You Go. It's just what it is.
Now, you know who did backing vocals on Tangled in Reins?
On the entire record?
Yep.
I'll guess Jeff Scott Soto.
That is correct.
So obviously Jeff and Millie know each other.
Yeah, they have a connection all the way to the Rockstar movie, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I saw the video on MTV. I remember that. And then I don't remember if I called Tony or Tony called me and said, man, you got to check this guy out. This guy's amazing, right? And we got the record and we're like, oh, every song can't be like that. Like, he can't be hitting those high notes the whole way through. And we were already in love with Striper. So it was that voice. And then that first record is so, so good, top to bottom. And, you know, mentioning top to bottom, let's just play the last song. Check this out, Down and Dirty.
Yeah, that's one of the tunes I love off that record. I don't know that I love it as much as Rock and Roll, but I do love Down and Dirty. I really like Rock and Roll. That's a damn good song.
It is. It is.
But yeah, I mean, the first two records are by far my favorite, but I will be honest. So they released this new live album, Live in Milan, Rockin' in Milan. And it's really, really a good sounding live record. It captures a lot of energy. But then the other great thing about this record is the set list is pretty good. Even though they don't play anything off of Tangled in Reins, the set list is pretty good because, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I love the music in the movie Rockstar. A lot of people, you know, they don't like the movie. I personally never had that problem with that movie. I was entertained by that movie. It was never an issue for me. People, cheesy, whatever. Doesn't matter. I was entertained. And I thought the soundtrack was really good. And I thought the band, my favorite part of the movie was the actual band and the music that they were playing. So I loved it. And they actually play, because Millie did the vocals on all these songs, they actually play two songs from the movie in the live set, right?
Yeah, they do. They open with them, actually. So the first song, check this out. This is a great song. It's so simple, but it is an amazing tune called Blood Pollution.
We'll be right back. Love it. Fantastic. One of my favorites on that record for sure. And such a pivotal time in the movie. And just, you know, I get chills when I hear that tune. I just really like that music. So,
yeah. And Millie, he mentions it in the interview a little bit that there's more coming in 2019. But think about the connection of these songs. You got Steelheart doing it on their new live DVD. Jeff continues to do stand up live. And these are three songs off a movie that grossed like $11 million. Like, the movie didn't do that great. And anytime I ask anybody, have you ever seen the movie? They say, no, I don't understand how they, I guess they missed it because it came out right around 9/11, which, you know, was unfortunate on a lot of different levels. But the songs are awesome.
Yeah, I bet that movie recouped its money through DVD sales and stuff.
Not even close.
Really? How do you know that? You looked or something?
Yeah, if you look it up, they didn't even make, I don't think, 30% of the money back, because once they brought in Marky Mark and Jennifer Aniston, that thing got pricey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. I like I said, I don't think it's that bad. I actually own the DVD. So there you go.
So do I.
Yeah. So people can give me shit, whatever. The rest of the soundtrack is good, too. It's got like Ted Nugent and NXS and stuff on there. You know, it's a good soundtrack.
Yeah, so the new DVD CD, so it comes in a pack. You can get it on steelheart.com. And the CD actually has 12 tracks. The DVD has 13 tracks. Both have a drum solo as one of the tracks. But on the DVD, it goes Blood Pollution. I'll skip one song because we're going to play it in a second. Gimme, Gimme, Like Never Before, Live to Die, My Dirty Girl, She's Gone, Cabernet. Then there's a drum solo. Everybody Loves Eileen, Rock and Roll, I Just Wanna. I'll Never Let You Go, and We All Die Young. But the second song that we skipped, which is, it's incredible to open the concert with two movie songs, which, hey, whatever. Check this out, Living the Life.
Ride. Never stop until I'm satisfied. It's a party.
Yeah, so this scene in the movie for me reminds me almost literally 100% of my teen years growing up. That's why I identified with this song and identified with this scene in the movie, because if you've ever seen the movie, you remember this song comes up when they're on their way to a concert and they're in the car and they pull up to the stoplight and they're blaring the music. I mean, that was me and my friends. Every weekend when we would like cruise the mall or go to a concert, that was what was going on. You know, you're digging the music, you're jamming with your buddies, you've got the stereo, which by the way, the stereo in a shit beater is always amazing. Like the car couldn't stand on two legs, but the sound system in the car was kick ass. And so that was always just that scene and that song just brings me back to that time. You know, I guess I shouldn't say the song in particular because the song wasn't around when I was a teen. Just the feel of the song is what I meant by that, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, whether it was, you know, I saw him 4 times on the first album's tour. They played with King of the Hill, they played with Lynch Mob, and it was 4 incredible shows. And then I didn't see them on Tangled because they canceled the shows after the accident happened. And then the next time I saw Millie was with the Doors, and I haven't seen them since because they don't play a ton. So my schedule and the schedule of their touring doesn't always sync up too much. But now with YouTube, though, you can see it anytime you want, which is great. But they're amazing live still.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised they don't do like more Monsters of Rock cruises or some of them three festivals a little bit more. But maybe in the new year they will be. He kind of hinted to that. There's a lot of things coming in 2019, it sounds like.
I will tell you, it is incredible to have a Michael Sweet and a Emelianenko Matijevic in their mid-50s still sounding and looking incredible.
Awesome. Man, so what do you think? You think it's about time to get to this interview or what?
Yeah, we had a really good time doing this interview. I know I enjoyed it. I thought he told some stories and talked about some things that I have not heard him mention in other places. You know, I think you're going to do magic with the edit, but he was on his phone somewhere in California, so you get all the background noise you get. That's how it goes.
Yeah, it is what it is, but, you know, it's the content that counts, and hopefully you guys will enjoy this conversation. So I don't think we should delay anymore. I think we should just rock this thing. We will talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Everybody out there in Radio Land, this is Emelianenko Matijevic from Steelheart. You are listening to Growing Up Rock Podcast. Stay tuned, stay crazy, stay beautiful. Love y'all. Pow.
With icons like Ronnie James Dio, Bruce Dickinson, Rob Halford, Robert Plant, Steven Tyler, etc., there were and still are some incredible singers in rock and metal today. And those guys are all great, but we have the unbelievable opportunity to invite to Grown Up Rock from the band Steelheart, my favorite singer of all time. Yes, people, I said it. My favorite singer of all time, Emelianenko Matijevic. How are you, sir?
Wow, that's a hell of an intro. Thank you. I'm honored. Yeah, that's wild. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll start by apologizing because my fanboy might come out a little bit in this interview. But
feel free to fanboy away. It's all good.
Let's just start. Want to pay our respects to the loss of Kenny. Talented guy. Definitely shows on the DVD just released.
Yes. You know, that I got to tell you, that DVD was the most difficult thing to mix and finish. That's why it took so long. You know, we recorded that, last May or something? I don't remember. And every time I just got into the studio, we put it up, you know, the footage and all that. It's just like, oh, God, no way. And I would leave. I'd always leave, and I'd procrastinate. And finally, you know, I got myself together to bring this thing home. So working with the directors and everyone, I think it came out pretty good. But it was a sad way to kind of work. But I'm sad to see Kenny go. And he's been, like I said, we wrote amazing songs together. We toured the world. And, you know, this is it. It's life, you know. So we send our love to him wherever he is, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. So, Miljenko, what was your introduction into hard rock and rock and roll music? Looks like your interest started kind of with country music at first. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. When I came to this country, my father really liked the country music. You know, Johnny Cash was a big one for him. And he introduced me to Johnny Cash, and we played a lot of his songs, among some other, you know, radio pop songs, but mainly that. And then I want to say about 11 years old, a friend of mine played me Led Zeppelin. And it was, how would I say, in my home life, it was downhill all the way, disaster. Because I, you know, wanted to grow my hair out and just love the rock and roll music. You know, that's, I don't know, something just like woke me up. And I knew I just needed to be a rock singer. You know, but it was very difficult, my old man, because he was just really difficult to work with in that, you know, vein, because he just wanted me to stay with, he was afraid that I was going to get into drugs and just be a loser. That was his whole fear. And that definitely was not the case, but that was my big introduction. So as soon as I heard Robert Plant, I was like, you kidding me, man? This is me right there.
Do you remember what song in particular it was that did that to you?
You know, I cannot remember particularly which one is, but it's probably one of the greats. And I think probably it may have been Black Dog. That's why I redid Black Dog.
Awesome. You know? Yeah.
It just may have been Black Dog. Have you guys heard my version of Black Dog?
Yeah, it's incredible. Love it.
Thank you. I got an EDM version as well. Pretty intense.
That's cool. Now, yeah. When did you find your voice? Like, are you sitting at home going, wow, look at these notes I can hit? Like, did you go to vocals teachers, or how did you find your voice?
Well, you know, I was singing like since I was like 4 or 5 years old. And I remember singing all the time to the radio. And one particular time I was in my grandmother's kitchen, and I'm singing to the radio, screaming out, and I swallowed a piece of gum. I'll never forget it. And I had this little pain on the side of my chest. And till this day, sometimes I feel this little pain, you know, like a air bubble or something. So anyway, I didn't think anything much of it then, of course. But as soon as I got to the United States and we started singing all the country music, my father just immediately recognized it. And my brother played amazing guitar. So it was a media attraction, so to speak. It was never a thought or a doubt. I always knew this is what I was and who I am. And it just escalated quickly from there, especially then with the Zeppelin thing, and then, you know, put a band together, and I had a band called Teaser with my brother, and we did all Led Zeppelin songs and some Rush. So from there, it escalated into something else, and then I joined another band, and there was just no stopping me. Once I connected, how would I say, with the gods, I accepted. It was unbelievably, how can I say, just a beautiful connection. You know, no matter how many times I would never even think about changing professions, it would always pull me back. One in particular, when I was in college, going for mechanical engineering, and you know, it's like, all right, well, let me be a mechanic. That's what my father wanted me to be. You know, I'll never forget. I think it was Jimmy who called me. He's like, "So, are we doing this? So what? What are you doing? What are you going to be a mechanical engineer? What are you doing?" And I paused for a second. I'm going, "Yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. I'll see you at rehearsal in a half hour." I took my books and threw them out the window. No exaggerations. I'm not bullshitting you. I threw them out the window and went to class the next day. I was like, "I'm done. I'm a rock star. That's what I need to be. I need to be a rock star. I'm a singer, and that's what I'm doing." Now, and that's what I did.
Now, you're originally from Croatia, correct? Your family?
Yes. Born in Zagreb, Croatia.
Yeah. When did you move here to the States? How old were you?
I want to say five.
Okay.
So maybe I'm off a year or so, but
yeah.
Five,
so fairly so early five. On. And you talked about Led Zeppelin kind of, turning your world upside down and getting you full of a rock and roll bug. Do you remember what the first album you bought with your own money was?
Oh, I never bought any album. I couldn't afford it.
Really? Okay.
I couldn't afford it. I had this, we weren't very wealthy growing up, but, what do you call it? My friend, I had this, the drummer, he was this Italian kid, and he was great. He bought all the albums. He had everything because we didn't even have a stereo to play it on. You know? So I would go over to his house. We'd go to his house and listen to it, you know, but he had all the records.
Okay. And so that's how you got your music.
Yeah, that's it.
Were you ever a fanboy yourself growing up when you were a teenager? Did you chase bands or hang out backstage or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, try to track down your idols?
Nah, very odd. Never.
Okay.
I was never that kind of person, you know?
So you were straight business from the get-go. It was all about just, you know, honing your own craft and your eyes set on being your own singer and your own band and all that, right?
Absolutely. But really loving and respecting, you know, the bands that I really enjoyed. Absolutely. So I'm just not that kind of person. I would never go running after somebody or, you know, it's just, I like giving people more respect than that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And their privacy and all that. I don't need to be a crazy fan. I could respect their beauty and their, you know, gifts from afar. I don't need to be, you know, and even now when I meet somebody that is like rock stars, it's just like not, it's a very, I can't explain it. It's just not. Yeah. I don't know if I explained or not, but this is not who I am.
Yeah.
I think I
get it. Early on, the band was called when I talk about the band, early on, Steelheart was called Red Alert, but at some point you guys changed the name to Steelheart. What prompted that?
Well, Red Alert was, what happened is that a DJ in New York City trademarked the name DJ Red Alert. So we had to change the name. And we were actually in Barney's Beanery here in California.
Love it.
With the A&R people and my manager and everybody in the band. We're just having lunch and we went there to say, we got to change the name. So everybody's thrown words out. And somebody said Steel, somebody said Hard. It's like, I don't know. I was like, Steelheart. There it is. Done. it just immediately just showed itself up. Really powerful. That's how that came together.
Now, can you nail down the turning point in your head when Steelheart kind of went from relatively unknown to all over MTV every hour?
Yeah, I knew exactly. We were in Florida. We were in Florida. We were doing a show in this club, actually. And before we were going out, we were watching MTV videos. Remember all of that? And our video, I'll Never Let Go, Angel Eyes, came on, and it was, I think, like number two or three or something like that on the video things. And it was really beautifully overwhelming. There's nothing more satisfying than an artist, whether you're a painter or a musician or a whatever in the art world, to be actually accepted and recognized as, wow, you are truly one of these beautiful artist that is giving back to the world, you know, with your art. And that was amazing. That was when it really happened. And that's when Steelheart just overnight, you know, the power of TV, overnight, it was just like, boom, in seconds, just from that, those videos.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So we're going to rewind back to February 91, Oakland, California. I'm a young Sonny is seeing you on the first of back-to-back nights in the San Francisco Bay Area. You're doing Sheila Tequila, and you handed me the tequila bottle. So first of all, the 21-year-old Sonny thanks you very much for a great night. But I remember that first show even, you have this uncanny ability to connect with the audience. And, you know, some of the stage moves you do are very animated. The whole back arch thing you don't see very often. Did you have a front man hero that you watched growing up going, that's the guy I want to be?
You know, there's several, you know what I mean? There's several. And then there's, I mean, I always, you know, David Lee Roth was always so much fun to watch. He was such a rock star, especially in those days. You know what I mean? He was like the epitome of a rock star. And I did like him, Robert Plant. You know, that was it. And then the rest is, you know, it's up to you to create you. You know what I'm saying? And I think I'm me on stage. As far as me connecting to the audience, I always had that beautiful connection because it's like this, you know, when you go out there and you're performing, this is what I work for all my life, to get out there and have some fun and connect with everyone and everyone else to connect with me. Let go of the work, let go of the stress, let go of whatever's going on in your life, and just be for that hour and a half with me. And I really feel that from them. You know, I really do feel that. And it's always a wonderful time having a show with people. We just did the last one I remember doing, and we had this festival down Rockfest in Florida just recently. And it was, I'll never forget, we came out, the audience was, you know, they were tired, they were hammered from the night before, hungover, I don't know what it was, you know what I mean? But I will tell you, by the third song, the whole audience was with me. They felt me, I felt them. It was beautiful, amazing. And this is why I do it. One of the biggest reasons I do it, you know? There's a beauty to it. There's energy, and it gives me power, gives me strength.
You know, and that's pretty refreshing to hear because, you know, until I started, Sonny knows everything there is to know about you for the most part because he's been following you for a long time. But for me, some of the stuff is a little bit newer and some of the stuff is unknown to me. And when I started digging into, you know, your history and everything, I find some of these things like this accident that happened on stage with you in Steelheart, I mean, where the trust falls on you and, you know, hurts your spine and hurts, you know, your body as a whole. When something like that happens, does that, one, does it change you in terms of the next time that you get up on stage? Or two, what keeps you going? What is it that drives you to continue? Because for a lesser motivated individual like myself, probably I would have given up a long time ago, or I'd have sat on the drum riser and said, "Ugh, I don't know if I can do this." You know,
this is what I do. I'm meant to do it. I'm meant to do something great. Keep going. You got to keep going. This is who I am. Look, when you're connected with the spirit and the God of what you really do, then you got to keep going. You know, I'm not allowed to quit. It's got nothing to do with, it's just a fire inside of me. Yeah. You know, the passion of creating music and touching somebody's soul when you finish it. And they're like, whoa, that's amazing. You just, you know, you're feeling energy. That is to me so beautiful and so important.
Yeah.
You know, that it's actually just building and building more as I'm getting older. You know what I mean? And the connection's getting stronger. And during that time, I got to tell you, those were some dark times, very difficult, because after that accident, I knew it was the beginning to the end of Steelheart. You know what I mean? That part of it for that moment. Wow. That was heavy. I mean, out of, you know, playing Denver Arena to a year and a half later, not even a year, I'm sleeping on the floor at my friend's house. It's just like, what the fuck happened? You know, overnight, and just lost everything.
Yeah.
And it's not too, I was never into the drugs or the alcohol, so it wasn't any of that, right. You know. It was truly just life stripping me down to nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And I wrote the song Good to Be Alive. You know, my mother passed away. My brother passed away in the same year. My friends sleeping on the floor. And I wrote this beautiful, amazing, positive song. So, you know, it's like you just got to be true to who you are.
Right.
And if you're really true to who you are, you'll always be taken care of. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And especially artists, I can say this to everyone. If you're a true artist, and you're going to get your ass kicked. If you're in the art world, you're going to somehow, there's something that you need to go through here and there. I'm not quite sure why, but you have to. But if you're really true to yourself and true to the art, you will always be taken care of. You will never be kicked to the side, to the curb, yeah. You know? So I have learned a lot during those times, really received so much information, should I say. And I don't recommend it for anyone because that was really, really heavy.
Yeah.
And to climb back up from that, I mean, even just now, it's been years to just keep going. And you know what it is? At the end of the day, I believe I'm meant to be there. I am that.
Right.
You know, and I feel that in a lot of ways, I've just begun and it's growing. It's what I am. I need to be there. So that's the drive.
Fair enough, man. That's more than we could have asked for an answer. So definitely fair enough.
Sorry. I just went down a long road on that one.
No, it's good. That's what we want you to tell your truth. This is your truth. So
yeah,
it's good. So how does the whole, cause for people that don't know, and how does the whole rock star thing come up? Because you're basically doing most of the vocal parts in the movie for Marky Mark. And I love those songs, and you're still doing some of those songs live in your set. How did that whole thing come about?
Well, first, I do all the vocals for Mark in that movie, except for the last song. That was the guy from the Verve Pipe. But everything else, there's seven songs that I sang for that album. And we are anticipating to re-record all of them to a release because no one heard the songs that, you know, they're in the movie, like Reckless or Wasted Generation, any of those songs. Nobody heard the full length songs of those.
Right.
So it'd be nice to get that out there for everyone.
I had a quick question, which is,
yeah.
And the reason I said most of it, because I thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Jeff Scott Soto do something in this movie as well? Or no?
Jeff does do some of the songs, but he does the Bobby Beer songs. He doesn't do the Marky Mark ones, just so you know.
Exactly. Everything that Mark Wahlberg sings is me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Jeff did the other guy.
Yeah.
I did seven for sure.
Yeah.
I have the album right here.
And I love those songs. Like, that was one of the things I enjoyed most about the movie was the actual band and the actual music.
Right. Right. No, it's definitely the songs are great. The band sounded great. And, there's some interesting surprises coming up, so I can't talk about it just yet, but let's just say something good is brewing. How about awesome. That?
Perfect.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Milwaukee Show 2010, I see you with the Doors. I thought you did an amazing job, first of all, channeling Morrison in voice and stage presence. And then I thought you were very careful not to overshadow Manzarek and Krieger. Like, how did the whole Doors thing come up? Because Ian was doing part of the Doors thing, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And then when they started looking for a new singer, I was looking for a manager. And I met Tom, who was their manager. And I had a lunch with him. And we're having lunch. And he says to me, he goes, listen, I'm thinking that I'm doing a project. And I think you'd be perfect for this project. It's a famous band. They sold like over 80 million records. And I was wondering if you'd have any interest to audition. I'm like, okay, you got my attention, 80 million records. You know, that's a few. Sure. And so then I said, who's the band? He said, The Doors. I was like, oh, okay. Because me growing up, I was Led Zeppelin. And then the rival band was, you know, The Doors and, you know, that whole vibe. And I'm like going, ah, shit. And he's like, ah, it's easy, man. You know all the songs. I'm like, yeah, but that's not, you know, that wasn't what I was doing at that time. So I really didn't. It was very different kind of music form, you know?
Completely.
So when I, he goes, well, listen, I said, yeah, sure. I'd love to audition for it. And, so I went back home, to Virginia. I was living at the time. And, so he sent me 10 songs and I'm listening, you know, of course, you know, some of them, but some of them was like very different for me as a singer. It's not what I grew up with, you know. But I got to tell you, the minute that I really fell in and connected with Jim, it was amazing because I really had a whole nother level of respect for the music, their energy, how they put music together, how they put everything, all of it. It was a beautiful experience. It was an honor to do it. And yes, I really did connect with the spirit of Jim. I mean, many a nights on stage, even that I would have literally someone speaking to me, whether it's me making it up or whatever, but it was very real. You know, one particular night we're in Prague in this really massive theater. Honestly, that was the biggest stage I think I've ever performed on. It was the most ridiculous, huge stage. We looked like little ants on the stage. And I'll never forget, I was ready to start singing and it was just like, somebody stop, don't sing, just wait. Let them just do their thing. Just play, just sit here. Just don't do anything. You know, wait, wait. And then it was like, okay, now sing. It was pretty amazing. It was definitely good moments, very powerful moments.
It was a great show. It was. All right. So you do a lot of things in Asia. I think you're a king in Korea or something like that. Your fan base in Asia has been very, very consistent. Are you doing TV, movies, albums? Like, what is all the things you do in Asia?
Well, Asia, I did a lot of TV shows, performances. I was like one of the first international artists ever to be welcomed to some of these shows, like the King of Mass Singers, where they're bringing it now here to the United States. And you wear a mask and you sing against another artist with a different mask. And then you go to your finals. But I had to sing in Korean. So I learned how to sing the songs in Korean, which was, that was a hell of a job, you know, to really, you know, get exactly the words correctly, speak them correctly, you know. And I did well. I actually fooled all the judges. And I couldn't win because I had to know one more Korean song. And there was just no way I could have learned another Korean song in that amount of time. It was just way too much work. But She's Gone, the song She's Gone, has been the number one karaoke song since 1989 and still is today in Korea.
Wow.
I sang that song. They have K-pop, the Dream Festival. If you can look it up. Dream Festival is the biggest festival in Asia. They have it at the Olympic Stadium. So I did this. I did She's Gone at the Olympic Stadium, 70,000 people. And it's like, I don't know how many millions of viewers on TV. And that was K-pop. And I was the only international artist ever to be welcome to that. So, yeah, I have a beautiful connection with Korea. They've been wonderful to me. And I look forward to keep building on that relationship.
Awesome. So listen, we've gone through this new live record that you got, Rockin' Milan.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. So congratulations on the release
of
that.
Thank you.
Sounds like there's another best of type project in the works to celebrate last 30 years or so. I see somewhere where you're asking the fans to help. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. What I did is I thought, you know, next year is Steelheart's 30th anniversary. So created a web email, steelheart30@steelheart.com. And I just asked everyone to send in any photos, videos, whatever they may think would be great in a book, you know, or in the Steelheart DVD, or the live album. I mean, the best of album. So we're going to create the best of album. We're going to go and re-record some of the songs and we're going to, trying to decide if we're going to put the movie in because we have a whole feature movie that's we shot and we're just compiling this and I want the fans to be a part of it so we could put it all together what exactly everybody wants. We want to do the jacket, the Steelheart jacket. We're going to make replicas of that and whatever else comes to mind and we're going to release this next December.
That sounds awesome. Sonny's still got the tequila bottle you handed him in 91. So where can he send that? Because that should be part of the project.
Well, we should, yeah. We should, too bad I didn't sign it then. you know, and dated it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you know what's funny is that tequila is like, it's always, everybody was like, oh, yeah, that's not real tequila. But it was always
tasted real to me.
It was always real. And I'll tell you, the guys ended up alcoholics after that tour, I'll tell you. Because I can't, you know, guzzle like they do. Jesus, they were like, I remember Frank would guzzle it. He would take a shot of that and be insane. So, anyway, Sure, send the bottle.
So I got to ask you, with all these, because you Steelheart is on Frontiers Records, correct?
For this album, yeah. We did it, right.
Okay, so with all these super groups that Frontiers peers together, Serafino continuously is putting artists together, with a voice like yours, I would have thought by now you would have been doing four or five different projects besides just Steelheart. Have they come to you and tried to pair you up with somebody?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of different offers and different things, and you know, the money and the thing is just, I don't know. Some of it didn't make sense. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't just throw shit together. I can't do it. It needs to be, you know, we need to sit down. We need to write it. Some of it just didn't work for me. That's all.
Okay.
Simple as that. But without a doubt, you know, I really love writing with other artists. We'll see what the future brings. By the way, Robbie and I wrote some amazing songs.
Robbie Krieger?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I will tell you honestly, when I first saw you live, I'm walking into the club and I was very skeptical. I'm like, there's no way he could hit these notes live that I'm seeing on MTV. It's not possible. You did not let me down one iota. You had me hooked as my favorite singer of all time on that night. Like, how do you keep your voice fresh? You still sound great. Are you a warm-up guy? Do you scream into a towel before you go on? Like, what's the regime?
It's everything. You know what? It's a lifestyle. You got to just take care of yourself. You know, you can't possibly sing like that, or even, you know, as you're getting older, you know what I mean? It really is workout. Always try to eat the right things. You got to go real easy on the alcohol. Can't smoke. Can't do the drugs. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work, because it'll just be taken away from you, you know? You got to respect the gift that you're given, straight up. You got to really respect it. And when they're talking to you, and I know all you guys out there who are artists, I know you know what I'm talking about. When they're speaking to you, you got to pay attention. And you actually got to pay attention and do, not just say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. No, it don't work that way, at least not with me. So considering that I've always been respectful to my, you know, the gift that I've been given, that's why I feel like I'm still able to do it.
It ain't like changing a guitar string, that's for sure.
No, trust me, man. You know, there are nights that you're sitting there, shit, I hope I can get through this because I'm not feeling the best. I just did four shows in a row. You know, I haven't slept. I got a cold. I mean, it could be a million things. You know what I mean? You know, and you could be, everything could be great. And all of a sudden, before you go on stage, something happens. You got a guy take a deep breath and a guy smoking a cigarette next to you. And he's like, it could be a million things.
Yeah.
It's just, being a singer, it is tricky, man. It really is.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you want to try opera at some point?
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. My next door neighbor in my studio is a world-renowned vocal coach, and he teaches opera. And actually, I think I'm going to go this week. I'm going to go over to him. It's like, let's do a little something of opera, just for the hell of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, what can it hurt? Who cares, right? So, I don't know. I think it could be something fun. Why not?
Awesome.
I want to do all of it. You know, it's like, there's nothing wrong with trying other things and having fun with it.
Agreed.
So, we'll see.
In the spirit of trying other things, your version of Hallelujah is incredible. So, having the vocal abilities that you have, and having that restraint to provide the beautiful vocal necessary for that song, like, is that something that it's like, all right, I got to get in the right headspace? Or are you recording going, damn it, I came out of my lower register again. Re-record.
No. It's all about singing to the song, not, you know, it's like, I'll do a song and some of the Korean artists would say, oh, we want to hear you scream. It's like, why would you want me to scream on that? Sound like an idiot. You know what I mean? You got to sing for the song. It's all about being invited into that space. It's like being invited to do the vocals for the movie Rockstar. Being invited into the space of the Doors. I mean, these are sacred spaces that the way I look at it. And when you're doing it, you need to be invited into these things. And then you'll have the true essence of what it is, you know? And that's the way I sing. I have to be in that space, in that amazing. This is what, as an artist, this is what we get that a lot of people don't get and don't understand, but it is a beautiful gift. So have you heard the Christmas song I just did?
Yeah, downloaded it. It sounds incredible too. Like, I don't listen to a lot of Christmas music, but I'm like, babe, listen to this. She's like, who's that singing? Like, they have no clue.
Well, that's the whole point, you know? So we're just having fun. That's just having fun. I was listening to Nat King Cole. I was like, you know what? I got to do one of these songs. I got to do it. So that's why I did it, like Nat King Cole versus Sinatra kind of vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just fun. It's just having fun. That's all.
All right. So we want to do a little lightning round with you. We kind of explained it at the top, but basically it's don't think too much about an answer. These are fun things, nothing crazy. Just trying to get what the first thing that enters your mind on this stuff. So song you wish you wrote.
Stairway to Heaven.
All right. How about a non-rock metal guilty pleasure? Like, is there like a pop band out there that you listen to going, okay, if people knew this, I'd be shunned out of society?
No, I love them all. It doesn't even faze me. I could care less what people think.
Do you remember your first concert? Who'd you see?
I do. Foreigner.
Oh, really?
Yep. Foreigner. Though in Madison Square Garden.
Wow. Are you a radio guy? Do you listen to Sirius XM? Are you an iPhone or streamer? How do you get your music?
I'm a streamer.
Yeah, okay.
I should probably listen to a lot more, but I'm so involved in my own world that I don't even have time to think straight. And it's not, I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it's just so many things I'm doing, you know, but usually streaming. And when I do stream, I usually stream songs that's kind of chill, vibey, and no vocals. Cause I don't even want to hear myself sing. I know it's true. It's like, you know, I need peace.
Yeah. What's your favorite song to play live?
I don't even know. They're all fun at different times. I can't give you a straight answer on that.
Okay,
depends. They're all just really good. You know, different moments. They're just like, they're all good.
Yeah. How about you're on a desert island. You can only take two albums.
Take Beethoven. And we'll take, who else are we going to take? I say we'll take beach chill music.
That's good. Dude, you're never going to be able to listen to Led Zeppelin 4 again.
You know what? With all due respect, as much as I love it, it's okay. I think I've heard it enough times. I've sang the songs enough times. I think it's okay.
Do you sing in the shower or the car? And what are you singing when you're singing? Like you catch yourself humming something going, what the hell am I humming that for?
No, I'm usually humming new songs that I'm writing if I'm doing anything.
Yeah.
It's always new songs and stuff. Yeah. I'm not really singing any, you know, humming or copying other music. So it's my, like I said, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too selfish. I'm always in my own headspace. It's like I need to get out sometimes, you know?
Are you constantly writing? Do you just like hum melodies into a phone or something?
Always. If you saw my phone, it is like a billion of ideas, one after another, whether it's a piano start or vocals or lyrics, everything. Absolutely.
Cool.
So I wanted to share with you, I just watched the live DVD again yesterday. And I got a signed copy from you. Thank you very much for doing that. Bought it off your website, which was great.
Awesome.
I'm watching the live DVD. It put me right back into the 90s. I'm getting chills just telling you. I mean, it looks great. You guys sound great. The band's great. It's tight. Incredible music. The whole DVD and CD's done really, really well.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Like I said, it was a lot of work because it was so... It was just really emotional. It was difficult, straight up. But I think I'm happy with the outcome. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Are you guys going to add anything into the set from Tangled? Because I don't think you're currently doing anything, are you?
You're absolutely correct. And we've been talking about that quite a bit. You got to remember there's so many songs and we try to figure out what the hell we're going to put in there sometimes. And what I want to do is I want to add Streamline Savings into that from this album, you know, The Worlds of Stardust is a really, I think it's one of my best records. And I don't think the world has really heard it yet the way it should. But the first song on that record, I'd like to add into the set. And also Lips of Rain. I don't know, it's hard. you know, when you're making a set list, it's just like, well, what are we going to do? And it's just like so many songs, which is, I guess, a high class problem to have.
Well, I think we've given some love to Worlds of Stardust on the show before, but I personally, I came into the band with Tangled, so that was my first record with the band, and then I went back and discovered the first record, but I really love tunes like Electric Love Child and Sticky Side Up, you know, some of that stuff is so cool.
Right.
Yeah. Added into the set.
I think, yeah, it's definitely Sticky Side Up is great. A Loaded Mother. I mean,
yeah,
those are definitely some great tunes, great memories. That's for sure.
Awesome.
So that was the tour that I almost died on, if you remember.
Yeah.
The 50th show of that tour is that we added that set in concert in Denver Arena. So maybe that's why I'm not playing it yet psychologically.
A little bit gun shy. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
So before we let you go, is there anything that you want to tell the listeners where they can go to get your stuff? We'll put everything in the show notes anyway. But
yeah, absolutely. Steelheart store at steelheart.com. You can have everything's there for the DVDs and the CDs and all that stuff. Also on iTunes, of course. Yeah, we got a lot going on this year. And, you know, I'm almost trying to figure out maybe I said I was going to do a Q&A live, and I still want to do that with the fans and just kind of figure out what do they want, you know, because it's one thing what I want, but it'd be nicer to hear what exactly they want. That's why I did that steelheart30@steelheart.com. So feel free to send in some messages, you know, people have, and I want more. I need more. Some of them are a little vague. They're just very general. You know, I want the true heart. What is it you want to hear? What do you want? If it was 30 years of this book or this something, what do you want to see? You know, what do you want to hear? Yeah, got a lot of shit coming, guys. Lots.
Awesome. We'll put some of that out on our social media and see what kind of response we get, and we'll send it to you and let you know what they're saying from our side.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you spending some time through the mountains and at the donut shops. It's all good.
Well, thank you, too. Thank you as well. And Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Dream come true to talk to you. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. You take care now. All right.
Thanks, Minley.
All right. Bye-bye.
Get ready to shuffle, rattle, and roll. Play us out, boys.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die. Oh, moon of Alabama, now must say goodbye. With love, I'll get on my why.
die. I tell you, we must die. I tell you.
Please make sure you subscribe to our podcast, Growing Up Rock, and leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a like and leave us a comment on Facebook at Growing Up Rock.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.